Good morning. The third of those three stories is one of the two or three most famous passages of Scripture, been told and retold, presented in artwork in various genres around the world. For hundreds of years, it's been known as the prodigal son. In fact, it's redefined, literally, the meaning of the word prodigal. Go back and look it up. Check out your OED. Yeah, you have it for a reason, right? Go look it up. Prodigal means free spending, spendthrift, wastrel. That's the original etymological meaning. But because that word got attached to the younger son, and thus to the title of the story, it's been in the popular mind completely redefined to mean returning repentant. Very powerful that one story can redefine a word. It can redefine a lot of things, including us, if we listen to it carefully. And there have been a lot of sermons preached and a lot of prayers and meditations done on all aspects of the story. And most of them are pretty good. Because it resonates with who we are. There's not a one of us here who hasn't in one time or another in our lives been that younger son. Was totally messed up. I'm beginning to wonder whether or not there really is a way back. The fact that he is received holds out hope for us in times like that. On the other hand, of course, there's not another single one of us in here who hasn't, probably more often, been the older son. A little bit indignant that the Father's mercy is bestowed on those who are so unworthy and haven't worked nearly as hard at it as we have. And meditating on it from that point of view has a lot to teach us too. But neither of those is the point of the story. Neither of those is the, what's the proper term? The lesson objective. This is Catechetical Sunday, you know. What is the target for the lesson? The target for the lesson is not go on home, you can still be received. The target for the lesson is not don't be too big for your britches. Both of those things are true, but they're not the target point. Basically, it's about God. You can't really read this parable and understand it the way Jesus taught it, unless you read it with the other two parables that it forms a troika with, and unless you read all three of them in response to the context. A great crowd of tax collectors and sinners is following Jesus. And he's feasting with them, accepting invitations from them, talking to them over dinner. The Pharisees and the scribes are aghast. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus' answer is, you guys got God wrong. That's not who God is. That's not who the God of Israel is. That's not who the God of our covenant is. Let me tell you who God is. God is like this shepherd with these 100 sheep. God is like this woman with these 10 coins. God is like this father with these 2 sons. It's a very pointed story or set of stories about who God is. And ultimately, that is what it all comes down to. That's what this whole catechetical ministry is about. It's what our whole preaching ministry is about. It's what our faith is about. There's a hierarchy of truths, they said at Vatican II. Some things are just more important than others. more central than others. Whether or not you believe that Mary was preserved from the first moment of her conception from the stain of original sin, whatever that is, may not be terribly critical. But whether or not there's a God, that's pretty central. And the second question is, who is that God? If we get that God right, the other stuff will fall into place. If we get that God wrong, everything goes in the wrong direction from the beginning. Know who God is. Well, first know that God is. That's pretty basic. But next, know who God is. And maybe you can't even separate those two. Maybe it's important to know who God is in order to believe that God is. Some of the gods I've heard described, I'd rather not believe in a God. I remember once counseling a person to become an atheist. Because by the stint of where this person had been and what they'd been through and whatnot, the only possible God they could imagine and believe in was the internal auditor of the universe who was out there looking for an excuse to get them. And I said, unless and until you can believe in some other God, you're much better off believing in no God at all. That's not who God is. Don't believe in that God. Believe in no God at all rather than that God. Is God worthy of belief? Is God worth the investment of our time, of our effort, of our commitment? All that comes down to the question of who God is, doesn't it? And this is who Jesus says God is. God is, pardon the pun, the prodigal father. Back in the original etymological sense of the term. The totally spendthrift father. The totally wastrel father. The God who pours out God's love and God's forgiveness and God's concern and God's mercy way beyond all reasonable limits. Way beyond all proper places to draw the line. A God who just keeps doing it. Doesn't seem to know how to stop. Once we know that's who God is, then we hear Jesus saying again here in Luke about 9 chapters ago, whereas Matthew had said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Luke makes the version, be compassionate as your Father in heaven is compassionate. Walk in the shoes of the sinner, the victim, the oppressed, the poor, everybody who gets pushed off to the side. Not some looking down the nose, supercilious pity, but walking in the shoes of literally suffering with compassion. That's who God is. That's what God does. That's why God sends Jesus to hang out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and people outside the law. And that's why God calls us to do the same. So there are a lot of things to teach our kids. There's a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of scripture. It's important to know where to find a book in the Bible. You know, kids need to learn that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the central thing we need to teach them in all of our catechetical ministries, starting with the one that is at home, the most important one, is who is God. And you want to know how kids learn who is God? They learn it from who you are. I've done research in this area. I can speak with scientific assurance. The God image is modeled on the image of the parents. A kid learns early on the word God and then tries to fill it in. What does it mean? Well, you know, even a 3 or 4 year old doesn't know the difference between a noun and a verb, and she couldn't explain it to you. But she knows it. She can use it. And God seems like one of those noun words, one of those words you ought to be able to point to something and say that word. But every time I point to something and say God, they tell me I'm wrong. About every 2-3 years, somebody comes up to me after Mass, all full of laughter, to tell me about the funny thing that happened in the middle of Mass. Generally, right in the middle of the sermon or right in the middle of the Eucharistic prayer, at some other equally solemn point, their 3-year-old is tugging at their sleeve, Mommy, Daddy, is that God up there? Pointing at me. Now, of course, the parents, knowing me as well as they do, find that incredibly funny. But for the kid, that makes sense. They told me this was God's house. And here's this guy in fancy clothes up front that everybody seems to be paying attention to. Maybe that's God. No, dear, that's not God. He just works for God. Well, when you're 3 years old and listening to that, what are you learning? God is great. God is good. God is everywhere. God knows everything. God can do everything. God loves you very much, and God wants you to be good. Now, when you're 3 years old, who do you know who knows everything, can do everything, loves you very much, and wants you to be good? Mom and Dad. When you get to be 14, they're total turkeys. But when you're 3, they know everything and can do everything. So, they sound so much like God, then God must look like them. So I take all the crayons I use to color Mom and Dad, and I use the same crayons to color God. For good or for ill. They learn who God is from who you are. And that's the root of the catechetical ministry. If we live as people of compassion, then our kids will grow up believing in a compassionate God. And a compassionate God is worthy of our faith, a worthy partner for our commitment. But it starts with that simple question. Who is God? Jesus gives us the answer that we are to give to our kids. God is like this shepherd with these 100 sheep. God is like this woman with these 10 coins. God is like this father with these 2 sons. That's who our God is. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.